Welcome to Revival for Mission with Ted Wilson. Have you ever sensed the great battle between good and evil? It's especially evident when you're involved in mission. On today's program, we'll be talking about a family caught in the middle of that battle and lessons we can learn, Bible truth that will help us as we stand firm for Jesus. That and much more on this episode of Revival for Mission. Pastor Wilson, why do we face so many challenges, even when we're serving in Jesus' name?
Well, one of the most difficult questions that we as human beings wrestle with is, if there is a God who truly loves us, why is there so much suffering, so much tragedy in the world today? As we contemplate this very real and serious question, I find it helpful to look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. If anyone on earth was innocent or not deserving of suffering or death, it was Jesus. And yet we read in Isaiah chapter 53, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, friend, evil, sin, and suffering are not from God, but from our enemy Satan, the devil. Claiming that God is arbitrary and unfair, Satan led a rebellion in heaven and brought his wicked plan down to this earth. After our first parents, Adam and Eve, succumbed to his lies, Satan became the prince of this world and has been spreading lies, sin, and suffering ever since. But praise God, one day soon, Satan and everything bad he brings will be destroyed forever. Jesus tells us in John 16, verse 33, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you would like to learn more about this controversy between Christ and Satan, I encourage you to visit our website, revivalformission.tv, and download the very insightful book, The Great Controversy, to learn much more. May God bless you and encourage you in his peace today.
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
Last week, we had Dr. Ann Hamill with us. She is a psychologist and also has a doctorate in counseling. And what a privilege it was to hear about the very unique and difficult experience that she had in the country of Rwanda and how it affected her and her children, but also how God helped to bring her through in a wonderful way. And it's great to have you back again to be here with us. You're working for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how you're able to help people.
You know, we've learned a lot since the time that I had my accident. Today, our church has what we call an International Service Employee Support Team or Missionary Care Team. And I'm the psychologist on that team. And we do everything we can now to support our missionaries, particularly in times of crises.
And what an important thing that is, because there are many times very critical points where people need that reassurance.
Absolutely.
Now, we've got a very special guest with us here. Tell us who we have with us.
This is Melissa DePaiva Gibson. Melissa is married to Pastor Michael Gibson. Michael is the youth pastor at the Southwestern Adventist University Church. I first met Melissa in 2003, but Melissa introduced us to Michael in 2015 at the General Conference session in San Antonio. A year later, my husband and I had the privilege of attending their wedding.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes. But I did meet Melissa in 2003. I was in my home in Berrien Springs when I got a phone call from the General Conference informing me that a missionary family had been murdered on the island of Palau. There was one survivor. Melissa was only 10 years old. An intruder had entered their home around 3 a.m. in the morning. After murdering her family, he tied Melissa up, put her in his car, and took her to the place where he was living. The next morning, he dressed in his work uniform, a uniform that Melissa recognized and knew who he worked for, and he went to work. Before he left, he told her to be very quiet, that there was a man outside the door that would do the same thing to her that he had done to her family if she made any noise. Leaving her there the whole day without food and water, he went to work. That night he came back, he looked at Melissa and he asked, "What am I going to do with you now?" And Melissa responded, "You can take me to the church and leave me there." Once again, he put her into his car. But rather than taking her to the church, he drove her to a remote part of the island. He strangled her and threw her down a deep ravine. Several hours later, we don't know how long, Melissa regained consciousness and was able to crawl out of that ravine. She was too weak to stand, but when she saw the lights of an oncoming car, she lifted her little hand and was able to flag them down. Soon, news of the tragedy traveled around the world. In December of 2018, my husband and I had the privilege of accompanying Melissa and her husband and her grandparents back to Palau. Melissa's first time back in 15 years.
My.
And I want to mention that as a psychologist, I understand the impact of trauma, particularly on a child. And I left early Christmas morning to make the long journey to Palau.
Because it wasn't December. This was just before
2 days before Christmas.
The smells of baking food and everything being set for helping people in that setting to feel comfortable and feel warm at home. And then this happened.
It happened. And I prayed the whole way that the Lord would protect Melissa from the traumatic impact of all that she had seen and experienced. And that's when I met Melissa.
Melissa, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being here. Your testimony is precious to us because it's a testimony of what God can do in a young life. Now, you were only 10 years old when this tragedy happened. Trauma took place. For a 10-year-old, this must have been an extraordinarily difficult situation. What was it like to experience such a traumatic event?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us here. As Dr. Hamill mentioned, she had been praying for me before we had even met, praying that the traumatic experience wouldn't do its damage in its full extent. And I can tell you that a lot of things from this story I've learned afterwards, because God has a way of just helping you cope by helping you forget a few things. And I've forgotten a lot of things, but some things are just ingrained in your mind that you just can't forget. And I remember being by myself in that time when I didn't know where I was. I had no idea of a lot of things. But during the time where I was left alone the whole night and the whole day.
It was about 24 hours or so.
More than 24 hours, yeah. I hadn't eaten, hadn't had anything to drink. But I remember praying just a simple prayer, Lord, or dear God, dear Jesus. I don't know how I said it in my mind, but I remember thinking, just please save me. Please keep me safe. And that was all I knew how to pray. I was 10 years old, but I didn't. I mean, that's what I knew to do.
The and only your thing parents that I had, obviously had nurtured you in a love for Jesus. So how important is that also for parents to take that responsibility and help a young child to grow up? I mean, that really helped you in that very difficult situation.
I'm sure they didn't know the impact that that had on that day.
Exactly.
But that prayer was answered, and Dr. Hamill's prayer was answered in a very unexpected way.
Now, how can you reconcile the difficulties that you faced, I mean, traumatic situation, with also the sense that Jesus was there with you? You prayed that simple prayer, and how did you feel that the Lord answered that prayer and was with you?
Yeah. So in the Bible, Jesus says he's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. And that night, I really did feel, I wasn't comfortable physically, but I didn't feel alone. I was comforted in a special way that only people who have gone through something traumatic know how to explain. Mm-hmm. There's no words to explain it. You just feel it. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was alone. And that's one thing that I remember very clearly. I was not alone. Although I was alone, nobody else was there. But in my mind, I wasn't alone. And I learned very early on after we had been come back to living in the States, back in Berrien Springs. My grandma would talk to me at night when I would wake up and not be ready to go back to sleep yet. And we'd talk about so many things that have shaped what I know and how I see God now. And one of those is the reality of the great controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just look at life through the small picture of what you know. And in my experience, I learned that sometimes God doesn't stop all harm from happening to you, but he is definitely there to put pieces back together. And in the reality of the great controversy, I learned that sometimes things happen for your good later on. So many blessings that come out of it that we never expected. I've never expected. And when you look back, you're like, wow, that was a blessing.
Mm.
And sometimes things happen for the good of other people. And I think we'll get to that a little later on. I'll share how it impacted other people. And I know, like you said, the story went across the world to many people. And it's impacted them and how they see God. And sometimes things just happen because they do. And it's beyond our control and beyond our knowledge. And if we really knew why everything happened, we'd have no need of God. We would have no need of knowing what he has. I mean, he's God. He knows mysteries. If we knew the mysteries, he wouldn't be God.
And we can depend upon him. And this great controversy you're talking about, which is a controversy, a conflict between Christ and Satan, between good and evil, this is a very real thing in life today for our viewers, for all of us. But one day soon, the Lord's coming, and he's going to bring a culmination and an end to all of the difficulties and the challenges and all of that kind of thing. And what a blessing it is to be able to know that God will take care of us. In fact, there's an old hymn that I like to sing, God will take care of you. And in your healing process over these 15 years now, what do you think was the biggest factor in helping you to heal from the trauma that you faced?
There's definitely many factors. The biggest factor was support that I received. And people that didn't even know they were supporting me.
From Dr. Hamill, from other people.
Yeah, people that knew they were there to support, and other people that had no idea they were even supporting. So never underestimate your words to someone, or not even just words, presence. to someone in the time of need. But yes, Dr. Hamill came from the GC. My grandmother, as soon as she heard the news, she got on the first flight she could from Montemorelos University where she was.
Isn't it great to have a good grandmother and a good grandfather?
Yes. My grandfather would have come as well. He was in Sudan and Africa because they were in the process of moving, so they were in different places. My family from Brazil, they all just came together to be with us. And fast forwarding, when we moved back to Michigan, aunts and uncles came to live with us. I just had such a strong support group and family. And the church family in Palau, I must have gotten about 200 stuffed animals. We were talking about this.
That's something.
And
right.
I still have them. And just these little things, stuffed animals, hugs, the presence of people who didn't know what to say, but they were just there. Church, going back to the same school that I had come from, we came from Andrews to Palau, and then from Palau we went right back to Andrews. I was back in the same class. I was involved in gymnastics. Anne would actually take me shopping sometimes. I remember that. But definitely the family, church family, and community support was the biggest factor in getting my mind off of things so I could continue being a regular, normal child, you know.
So our support to other people is so important. Mm. Now, Dr. Hamill mentioned that something about going back to Palau. It was just not long ago that you went back to Palau for the first time in 15 years. What was that like?
That was amazing. Amazing kind of describes it. We, as soon as we stepped foot off the plane, we were already greeted by TSA agents. People that worked at the airport knew who we were, knew what had happened, and they say, "I remember you, and thank you so much for coming back." The church family were there at the airport. As soon as you come out the closed way where only the people who are traveling come out from, they had all the flower lays and they stacked them on us and to up to your chin, and they smell really good. Just how I remember the first time when we got to Palau with my family.
Now, you also visited the prison in Palau, and this was a difficult thing, I'm sure, to do. Why did you go there, and what happened?
I wasn't sure at first if I was going to go to the prison, if Justin even wanted to see us.
Justin is the one who killed your parents and your brother.
Yes, and he's been in prison since then and will stay there because of the sentences that he got. But I didn't know how, not just how I would feel, but does he even want to see us?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't sure. I'm like, we'll go and find out there when we get to Palau how things turn out. But then early on, somebody, a church member, asked me, are you going to go to the prison? Are you going to see him? And that's when I realized, I'm like, I do need to go. I need to go there. And I wasn't going by myself, of course, so we went with the whole group that we had traveled with, and plus some of the, some church members from there, the whips, Sarango and his son, Pastor Norton, the Guam Micronesia Mission president, and principals, just all the people who had been supporting of us during the trip were there. And we walked in, and he was standing there behind the table. A guard was on the other side. He was there. He had his hands behind his back, not tied up or not shackled or anything, but he had something prepared for us, and that was to tell us how deeply remorseful and how sorry he was for what he had done and how he's sharing or carrying on the legacy of my family in the prison by giving other prisoners Bible studies, by trying to live stream the church services, which is literally across the street from the prison, and just carrying on their legacy of their work in Palau inside the prison. And Anne could probably mention some of how that felt.
Yeah. It was a surreal kind of experience to enter the prison. Melissa didn't mention that 2 years ago, Justin was baptized.
Isn't that something?
The pastor,
power of God.
Melissa's father started a prison ministry. The pastor, Tiago Cunha, is now the pastor. He's from Portugal. When he went there, he felt like, even though he hadn't done prison ministry before, he should go, and he met Justin. The Lord had prepared Justin, and he was baptized. And, you know, Ruth's grandparents spoke, and then Melissa spoke. She didn't think she would speak either, but Melissa said the most profound thing. She said, "Justin, we're no better than you are. We're all the same in God's sight." And at first I was shocked. I thought, "No, Melissa, that's not true." But she spoke a profound truth. We're all in need of God's saving grace. And she said to him, "Justin, I want to see you one day in heaven with my parents and my brother." Someone pointed out to me, Jesus on the cross said to the thief beside him, "One day I will see you in paradise." Jesus, Melissa has Jesus at the center of her life, and that has enabled her to move forward in life and to be whole and healthy as we see her today. And I praise the Lord for that.
We praise God. Thank you so much, Melissa, for the courage to share your unbelievable story. We could actually spend half the day listening to how God worked in your life. Thank you so much for being with us and for the testimony that your life represents in a powerful way to those who are watching. And soon we're going to be returning to talk with Melissa about the power of forgiveness. So stay with us.
In December of 2018, I had the chance to travel with Melissa and her grandparents to Palau, the first time she's been back since 2003. Here's our adventure. I'm sure you can tell we had a lot of fun on this trip. I had the privilege of speaking for a week of prayer at the church Melissa's dad pastored at, and even got to speak to the amazing students at Palau Mission Academy. Melissa shared her experiences losing her parents and brother in Palau and her journey to forgiveness. We were able to visit the house that they lived in the campus of Palau Mission Academy. And we also found out that the Queen of Palau planted two coconut trees on the side of the road where Melissa was left for dead 15 years ago. Being able to experience Palau and walk in the footsteps of Melissa's family, I'm so grateful to God for his protection in her life. I'm also honored to be married to someone so courageous, strong, and dedicated to God.
We're back with Melissa De Paiva Gibson, and she just related her incredible story of how God guided in a very difficult situation and forgiveness that took place. Melissa, you know, sometimes people have a really hard time forgiving. How were you able to forgive Justin, who killed your family, and what would you tell people who are really having a tough time with forgiveness?
To be honest, I don't remember the exact moment where I decided to forgive. I think forgiveness is a process, and you go through that a step at a time with God, and you wrestle it out with God, because God wrestled with Jacob, and he wants to wrestle things, the hard questions in life, with you. And you just have to ask him, "Lord, help me to have the thoughts that I need to have." And then you don't have to be best friends. You don't have to be friends with the person that's wronged you, but you do need to wish them good, wish them their best, and wish that at some point they'll come to reconcile as well with their own Savior, with Jesus Christ. And I think that's what's helped me the most, to understand that evil is always going to be in this world. You're always going to have something that's not right in your life, but God will help you reconcile all that.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for your encouraging, practical information and testimony. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
what an incredible story we have heard. A story of trauma and yet a story of forgiveness. Forgiveness that is only possible with God. The Bible tells us in the book of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. My dear friend, I don't know what trauma, what heartache you may have experienced in your life. Perhaps you've been greatly wronged and are struggling to forgive the one who hurt you. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden that feels as if it is about to crush you. Today, Jesus wants to take that burden away. He wants to free you through the power of forgiveness. Now, forgiveness does not mean that what the person did was right. Neither does it mean that you must reestablish a relationship with the person you hurt. It does mean releasing the anger, the desire for revenge, putting the person into God's hands and letting Him take care of the outcome. He is the one who can give us the power to say the words, "I forgive you." Would you like to experience the power that Melissa has so beautifully described, the power of forgiving those who have hurt you? Why don't you ask God for that power just now as we pray together? Father in heaven, we ask that you will give us that beautiful understanding of forgiveness. Put in our hearts a desire to forgive those who have hurt us. And Lord, bring new life and encouragement to our own souls as we place others in your care, not allowing ourselves to seek revenge, but allowing you to take care of all the final results. We place it in your care. Give us peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.